It's very challenging. It's just as a little child, you have to go through this thing because first you have to say, okay, am I loyal to this person or to that person? And they are your parents and you love them. But then you were like, okay, does that mean that I don't like that my mom, or does that mean that? So it's like a lot of confusion that you don't know what to do. And it's a heavy burden to carry as a little child. When one parent say to the other that the other parent is bad in front of the children, it just basically means one half of that child is not good. Thinking about future, what kind of a self-esteem or self-confidence do you expect that child to have?
Welcome to the Thriving in Chaos Project. Certified divorce coach and credentialed mediator Paulette Rigo invites you to grab a favorite beverage, find a cozy seat, soothe your soul, and take a listen. This podcast was created and inspired by our courageous journeys, love for connecting with others, and having meaningful conversations that teach, impact, and heal through sharing our stories. In each episode, Paulette will be joined by some of the most experienced and compelling experts in all things divorce and transformation. Listen to prepare and thrive through the toughest chapters as we reveal our hardships, celebrate our lessons learned, and see the future clearly with encouragement, hope, and joy. Leave feeling empowered and prepared to approach life and maintain our dignity no matter what. Each podcast episode focuses on sharing real conversations from real life situations. Isn't it time you thrived? Welcome to the Thriving in Chaos Project. I am Paulette Rigo, your host. And today I am thrilled and honored to be companioned, guided with this sparkling light I met on Clubhouse. Her name is Layla Parvitz. She is known as the family peacemaker. So welcome to the podcast and the show today, Layla.
Thank you for having me, Paulette. It's so nice to be in your program and podcast.
Well, thank you. You know, it's interesting the experience I've had on Clubhouse over the last, so shall we say, 4 months, because sometimes I find that it's really laden with professionals, and other times I find that it's very heavy with people yearning for knowledge and connection and answers and resources. And I love the fact that there's the community out there of professionals that are, shall we say, doing the B2B thing with like collaborating with each other, finding each other. But really, I find it so heartwarming that it's really a safe community in which people that are contemplating divorce or struggling to get through it and divorce with dignity and some semblance of grace. And those really on the back end are starting to think about the journey of healing can come together in one place and say, all right, there must be people out there just like me that have suffered. So thank you for, you know, connecting with me, you know, jumping into my room, All Things Divorce, that I co-host with Alyssa Panitz, and sharing your own particular genius zone, because it's a very heartfelt thing, right? And I really know that we're doing a good thing. So I appreciate that. And kudos to you. I'm so glad that you too, yourself, feel the same way.
Thank you. Yes, as you said, it's always feels good when you go to a room of people where they like-minded and speak your language, and you feel like you're not alone, because people always feel and think that divorce and, okay, amicable, peaceful are in conflict together. Like, you know, how can be these things be on the same, even same place? And it takes a lot of education to let them know that, you know, there is a better way, even though you might not get along, to have a better divorce, which you can plan for your future. and having a better life moving forward, because your divorce doesn't end when you sign the paperwork with the court and judge.
Well, ain't that the truth, my darling? My goodness, right? So, you know, I always say to people that the journey begins really of healing and transformation and rebuilding a family. The moment that one or both of the parties has that conversation about separating or divorcing, it doesn't start, you know, when you walk out of the courtroom with the pretty little piece of paper in your hands with the I's dotted, the T's crossed, and oh, I guess we're officially divorced now. So now I'm going to start rebuilding my life. It's such a linear journey, and it's a continual one. Now, I know that you yourself did not just wake up one day and say, I'm going to be a divorce attorney. I want to study family law and become an attorney and perhaps even a mediator. You yourself grew up in a family of knowing the pain of divorce. Tell us a little bit about that, if you may, as to why you wanted to delve deep into that world. I was lucky enough to not have divorced parents, although there were those days I wish they had, but that would be another conversation. So what propelled you to really take your story as a little girl and make it a career?
That's a really good question. And, you know, this is just like my why. I wake up every day for that purpose. Because I know as that little girl, I went through a lot of pain and in a journey that it didn't end when, you know, my parents signed the divorce paperwork. You know, I am 33 years old right now, but, you know, to this day, you will see the aftermath of divorce in my life and my sister's life. So it's just a journey, and the way that we can help and educate people, the better it can get for, even if like somebody hears my message today, a parent that are going through a divorce, and try to not do some of the stuff that my parent did and do their divorce better. I think that's why I come to work every day, so that help one family do it the right way, or, you know, attending in this podcast to get my message out there even further, so that more people know to not to do some of the stuff that, you know, my parents did, and help them have a better divorce.
Mm. Well, were you born in the US? Because I know you studied and attended college in Iran before you came and to law school. So was that, I know that's a cultural thing with divorce. From many of the clients I've had in cultural situations, that divorce is not necessarily seen as something, okay. You know, it's seen as something taboo. That may be my word, but how did that influence you?
So I was born and raised in Iran. I lived there for 23 years, and I moved here 10 years ago. And yes, there is a lot of difference in culture, difference in law. I mean, even in the United States, there are different laws, state by state. But the underlying thing is the relationship. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter. That anger, that resentment, the cheating, those things doesn't matter. They have the same underlying issue. And obviously, you know, when someone knows some one place's culture better, they can understand where that person is coming from better. But in terms of like the general divorce and what happens and the anger and the frustration, there is a similar theme.
Yeah, I find that universally emotions are emotions are emotions, whether you come from, you know, Alaska, Hawaii, China, Australia. I'm trying to go all over the globe here. You know, it's not age dependent, location dependent, culture, religion, sex, you name it. It's the emotions that are associated with marriage and the emotions that are associated with divorce. In my now coming up on 15 years of in experience in this are universal. Would you find that to be true?
Yes, I was actually, I practice in California and we have a family friend who lives in Nevada, and he was like once in a while call me and was going through a very like ugly divorce. And, you know, he was talking and, you know, I was trying to kind of like guide him through this process. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know, this person is in another state. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he is Persian, so I could understand like some of the underlying things that he has.
Right.
But, you know, once I clarified that part, I would just realize, okay, you know, I'm saying the same thing to the person that it's in another state, because, you know, they are dealing with the same issue. Right. And I think one of the funny part about that conversation was, you know, he was just like talking about, oh, she's getting this, she's getting that, she's getting that, she's getting this. And I finally, after he dumped all the list, my only question for him, okay, tell me what you're going to gain. And then, you know, he listed, it wasn't as long as what he said that she's going to get, but it was a good amount of items. And then when I asked him this question, for a moment, he was just silent. And then literally after that phone call, like a couple of days later, I get a phone call from him that, oh, you know, we settled.
So there you go. Well, now a little bit of a side bar, or shall we say with legal terms, or digression, or segue. 22 million Americans, I don't know the statistics in other countries, suffer from parent alienation, or even going deeper than that, known as estrangement. So usually parent alienation is when one or both of the parties in the divorce procedures start basically to speak negatively about the other, and in such a way that the children become drawn, or I like to use the word tug of war, where they feel that, or I know that's not a word, a phrase, right? That they feel torn between which person to align with, believe, want to spend time with, and et cetera, et cetera. And that really weighs heavy on a child, whether they're 3, 13, or even 30. It is challenging. So you've had your own experience with that. How did that work for you? What did you gain, and how do you help clients through that?
It's very challenging. It's just like, you know, as a literal child, you have to go through this thing, because first you have to say, okay, am I loyal to this person or to that person? And they are your parents and you love them. But then you're like, okay, does that mean that I don't love that my mom, or does that mean that? So it's like a lot of confusion that you don't know what to do. And it's a heavy burden to carry as a little child. I remember my dad was the one that, you know, always like bad mouthing my mom. And so let's say when my mom would call us, you know, during the week, which was not her time, if I was around my dad and my mom would make this phone call, I start to talk so bad with a very mean tone with my mom, just to show my dad, hey, dad, I'm on your team. Look, like, you know, I'm absolutely right. You know, I don't like my mom the way you're talking. And really, it affected me to this day, you know, even though I know that a lot of the things that he said about my mom is not the truth. But because I grew up, I still sometimes I cannot have this kind, genuine conversation with her as a result of growing up with this pattern. So it's really hard. It's a heavy burden. There is a judge, I think he described it the best way. He said, when you say, you know, when one parent say to the other that the other parent is bad in front of the children, it just basically means one half of that child is not good. And imagine the other person also does that. So you're basically saying that the entire being of that child is not good. And that's just you know, thinking about future, what kind of a self-esteem or self-confidence do you expect that child to have? Think about the dating relationships that especially if they're girls. I'm a girl, so I can only speak about myself, they're going to go through. So these are the things that when I say divorce doesn't end, you know, with all the fights and some one way or the other is going to end. But it doesn't end at that point where when you get the paperwork.
Yeah, right. One of the most common and egregious mistakes is that feeling of wanting revenge or retaliation, that one side is to be at fault and there's this victim blaming mindset where, what's that saying? It's all your fault. It's all your fault. I remember my daughter used to play hockey and we would go to the games and the band, when somebody would get a goal, would like literally play that and like scream at the goaltender, it's all your fault. And granted, this is a hockey analogy and not a divorce one, but it made me just cringe with like horrible. I could see the goal and it was a little bit of a joke, you know, in the sense that it's a hockey game. But when it comes down to the dynamics of a family, you know, there's normally two sides to, or shall we say three or 12 sides to every story, right? They're a little bit of a legal joke there, but
yeah.
Right, there's the truth and then there's many different sides of the story. But I've never seen a divorce where one side is 100% at fault, right? So there's a sense of ownership, responsibility, taking the steering wheel and, you know, controlling the course of the trajectory and the outcome of the divorce by owning your part or the part that you play in the demise of the relationship. And when it comes to alienation, there's none of that. There's he or she is to fault and it's their fault and they did this and they did that. And it's one of the most egregious mistakes I made. And I saw myself really, I thought, being neutral, poised, calm, patient. And when I look back at it as a mediator, as a divorce coach, and as a professional, oh my God, Layla, I was a total naive nincompoop and knew nothing about the dynamics and the ramifications of the words and even the dirty look or the inclination or just the sarcasm that isn't like downright criticism, but there's something to be said even about what you don't say that leaves the message. In fact, that, well, if you're half mom and you're half dad and mom talks badly about dad and dad speaks unkindly about mom, then guess what? You're just nothing. You're just, you know, a zero. It's almost impossible for a child to feel whole and balanced and complete when both sides are at the tug of war. It's one of the most difficult things. I'm sorry you had to go through it. And I'm sorry my children had to go through it. So I love the fact that you have transitioned your work into the family peacemaker. Now that you're in California, the Sunshine State, well, Florida would probably like to have a little bit of a dissertation about that, but and more people, you know, are moving. California's in flux right now. And I also know that last year alone, there were 2.4 million divorces in the United States and 22 million Americans suffered from parent alienation. That's a lot of people. Now, if you take the 2.4 million, that's a divorce case, but yet there's two people involved. That's close to 5 million people per year annually that are affected by divorce. I do not know the statistics on how many of those 5 million people annually that are affected by divorce annually involve children. And the unfortunate habituation, an imprint and pattern of alienation. But I would like to think it's a lot. Not like to think, but, you know, lead to believe. So now that this really has become more of a passion project for you, right? If nothing other than a career, and you're a young, vibrant attorney, you know, I see that you getting to know you over the last few months, as I have, seeing you become very committed and dedicated to helping families through this. What is the best advice you can give them for a family embarking on a divorce?
That carefully review the divorce option, divorce processes that they have and the options that they can handle their divorce. Carefully review all the options and make a decision, because the process that choose to find the outcome, quality, even the cost of their divorce. And it's hard, you know, in the middle of the war and anger and resentment, to kind of be able to like take a step back and, you know, think about these things. But it really pay off at the end, because, you know, everybody during the divorce, nobody is like, they love each other and they want to hug each other. Even the, you know, even the most, the people, the two couple that get along the most, you know, at some point they had that fight when they decided to end their relationship. So it's, you know, I guess the thing I want to say is that you don't have to get along well and to just like choose a better process. And, you know, we have enough tools and education to know that, okay, whether we're going to be well suited for this case. Like, if I feel like, okay, this case, I'm dealing with like a very bad power imbalance or like some sort of domestic abuse or something like that, I would never myself allow this case to move forward as a mediation, because it's not going to be a safe place for the other spouse. But it's not like, okay, I'm a peacemaker, and, you know, I'm an advocate for that. I will create a situation and then let you know. That being said, I think a lot of divorces can be handled, you know, with a better process without the intervention of the court and, you know, the attorneys running the show.
Yeah. As soon as you get the courts involved, you are letting other people run the show. You're no longer putting in the address and your GPS and driving the car to your destination. You're in the passenger seat and you're allowing somebody else to put in the destination or the outcome. And that could be a very scary decision. Risky. It's a little bit like playing roulette, right? Where you just spin the wheel and throw in the marble and say, well, let's see where it all ends. And maybe it winds up okay, maybe it doesn't. And there's a lot to be said about that. And, you know, I'm not pro divorce. I'm not pro litigation. And there are those few cases, unfortunately, me being one of them, that the litigation really is the only option. If both parties are not willing to come to the table, to be transparent, and to have that conversation that is really, what do we call it? Discovery, right? Right? Where you say, well, okay, well, let's discover what's there. It's like going on a pirate treasure hunt. It's like going on an expedition. You really do need to have a map to be able to say, okay, well, this is what the law says. This is what's there. But if one party, you know, puts duct tape over their lips and locks the key and says, I'm not playing by the rules, I'm not conversing, it isn't always possible. Now, with a very smart mediator, it is still plausible that you could have the conversation based on all of those mediation tactics and skills that you and I know, but it is definitely challenging. So yeah, Well, I commend you because when I saw the name of your business, Family Peacemaker, I knew this is a woman that's changing the conversation, changing the outcome, and making an impact in so many families moving forward. So I'm honored to meet you and to learn about you. What is the best way for somebody living in California that maybe is questioning the divorce journey to reach out and get to know you, have a conversation with you, and learn more about you?
On our website, as you said, www.familypeacemaker.com, we offer 1 hour free consultation. So if they can just like fill out the web inquiry form.
Great.
We will schedule that 1 hour consultation for them. And then that 1 hour consultation, which is going to be with the presence of both of the divorcing, you know, both of those spouses, we can go over the options and the their situation to see how we can help them best. And it's really, a lot of times, sometimes people say, oh, this is a sales pitch. And it's not a sales pitch. It's really for like us to know that family better and for that family to know us better so that we can work together.
Yeah.
And you can also email me. It's lparviz@familypeacemaker.com. And I will make sure to schedule that 1 hour free consultation. And, you know, a lot of times, I like that you said, Paulette, earlier that, you know, pro-divorce. True, a lot of people in this consultation, we talk and, okay, for example, have you tried counseling? And they're like, no. And then, you know, you send them counseling and then one thing you know is like, oh, we decided to reconcile. So it's not like, you know, we are just like pushing people through the divorce route.
Yeah, I don't push anyone through the divorce journey either. It has to be a decision that you have exhausted, counseled, therapied, played with, contemplated, researched, and really understood, because this isn't a decision that you wake up and say, oh, guess what? Change my mind. You know, what's that about April Fools? There's no April Fools. It is life-altering decision. So www.peacemaker.com is her website. And if you're in
Family
California,
Peacemaker.
Excuse me, familypeacemaker.com. Thank you for the correction. And if you're in California and you're contemplating, you know who to reach out to. What area are you in? LA, San Diego, San Francisco? Where in California are you?
Oh, our office is between Los Angeles and San Diego in Orange County.
Okay.
But we are doing all of our meetings through Zoom. So as long as it's in the state of California, we'll take it. Any clients from state okay. of California. Anywhere.
And I used to just do cases in Massachusetts. And then I used to just do cases where I was living in Belize. And now with the world being a little bit different, I help people in Canada, the US, the Caribbean, and even overseas. So it's a whole new brave world we live in, Layla. And thank you for your time, everyone. Yes, here's to peacemaking, here's to thriving, here's to understanding, particularly the mistakes in parent alienation and knowing that there's nothing more important than family peacemaking. Thank you for your time. Reach out to Layla if you're in California. And everybody, keep thriving in the chaos. You got to do it. Thanks for tuning in. And make sure if you want to talk to us or ask us questions, you can always email us at thrivinginchaospodcast@gmail.com. See you next week.